Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Minnesota Congresswoman and absolutely terrible person Ilhan Omar says it's time we dismantled police departments so we can, quote, reimagine public safety. In a speech made before the demons of hell as they waited with bated fiery breath for the moment when they would be set free to drag her into the pit of eternal flames, Congresswoman Omar said, quote, it is absolutely intolerable that racist police can arrest someone just because she married her own brother in an attempt to give him fraudulent citizenship. Not that that ever happened. I'm just saying if it did happen and someone was arrested for doing that, it would be intolerable for that particular congresswoman, unquote. Congresswoman Omar said she was planning to meet with other thoroughly disgusting human beings to discuss new ways of envisioning law enforcement without such outdated qualities as law or enforcement. Congresswoman Omar told the gathering of maggots crawling over the body of a human sacrifice, quote, I believe in neighborhood peacekeeping groups comprised of young men who not only protect anyone who pays them a weekly fee and unmarked bills placed in brown paper bags, but will also deliver needed pharmaceuticals from the finest laboratories in Mexico, which would also provide jobs for naked American women who will lace the product with baking soda and occasionally bleach, unquote. Congresswoman Omar was joined in her drive to eliminate policing by a large collection of college-aged white women who were part of a movement to help normalize the inability to reason. As spokeswoman Tiffany Stupid screamed at the top of her lungs, quote, I am sick and tired of having the ability to call the police anytime I just happen to be raped and beaten within an inch of my life. Women in marginalized communities can't do that. Or if they can, I would like to live there, unquote. Other proposals to reimagine public safety include burning the city of Minneapolis to the ground and praying for the return of Jesus as soon as churches reopen. Trigger warning, I'm Andrew Klavan, and this is The Andrew Klavan Show.
I feel hunky-dunky, life is tickety-boo. Birds are winging, also singing, hunky-dunky-dee-doo. Ship-shaped, ipsy-topsy, the world is zippity-zing. It's a wonderful day, hurrah, hooray, it makes me want to sing. Oh, hurrah, hooray, oh, hooray, hurrah.
All right, we are here again laughing our way through the fall of the Republic. We are thankful to all of you who are subscribing to the Andrew Klavan YouTube channel. Very important for us, really helpful, and we're watching your comments there. We've got one from Moor Raj who asked, is Jeremy Boring going to sacrifice the person who gets the least subscription between you and Knowles? Blink twice for yes. Now, it's an open policy. If I get more subscriptions than Knowles, Knowles does become a human sacrifice. But if Knowles gets more subscriptions, Knowles becomes a human sacrifice. Don't blame me. Jeremy is the God King. He makes the rules. You all know the leftist playbook, never let a crisis go to waste. It's time to find out if conservatives have the intelligence and wherewithal to pull a page from that book. For years now, I've been talking to you about the disaster that is our news media. It's corrupt, it's infested with leftism, and it has lost the purpose of its calling in a miasma of half-baked academic theories with no basis in morality or science or fact. Now, that problem has reached a tipping point, a crisis. And the question is, are we going to talk about it or are we going to do what the corrupt media is always saying we do, namely pounce? Two major left-wing editors have been forced out of their jobs by young social justice staffers because they allowed a diverse opinion to appear in their op-ed pages. James Bennett resigned from the New York Times, a former newspaper, because he allowed Senator Tom Cotton to voice the majority opinion that the military should be called out when governors fail to control rioting. At the Philadelphia Inquirer, another leftist, Stan Wisnowski, was forced out because he ran a piece by an architecture critic saying that gutting buildings hurt the city. The headline, "Buildings Matter Too," was too much for young Snowflake staffers to tolerate. Both men groveled and apologized when there was nothing to apologize for. In fact, they should have been praised. But these young SJWs are Stalinists, which is to say they're left-wing fascists. They're fascists, and apologies are just blood in the water to them. This is a crisis in journalism. These are two once great and important newspapers rendered utterly useless by a cadre of small-minded punks who have big educations and no freaking clue, and by the groveling cowards in power who can't stand up to them. They wouldn't be able to do this if the people in management would just stand up to them and say, "You're fired if you walk out." One of two things can happen now. Journalism can vanish, or it can be reborn because conservatives put up the money and put in the effort to fund the kind of reporting these papers used to do. We fought hard on the internet to make our opinions heard, but now it's time to take over Newsside. We've got to do it, or we're going to lose first journalism and then the country. All right, let's talk about Paint Your Life, which is a really wonderful business that basically takes pictures of you and turns them into absolutely beautiful paintings. I haven't been able to get my hand on mine because it's still in the studio, or I haven't been for months, but you can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. It's a user-friendly platform. It lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's a quick and easy process, and you get the portrait in about 3 weeks, and they communicate with you all throughout, so you get to put in comments and anything you want. You can send any picture you want. I sent myself because I just love seeing my own face turned into a painting. Actually, I just wanted to test it out. So if it went bad, I didn't want somebody else to get ruined, but it turned out so well, I was kind of sorry I didn't get a painting of somebody more attractive like my wife. But Paint Your Life portraits are a gift that will keep on giving. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded. And right now, as a limited time offer, you can get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word Andrew to 64,000. That's Andrew to 64,000. Text Andrew to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. So we got the mailbag tomorrow. Please come on and subscribe to dailywire.com. That is what you will sound like when the mailbag is over. Come on and subscribe to dailywire.com. Go to the podcast page. Go to the Andrew Klavan podcast. Hit that little mailbag symbol and you can ask me about anything you want. Your personal life, religion, politics. All my answers are guaranteed 100% correct and will change your life. Will they change it for the better? Tune in tomorrow and find out. And we're still doing, we love those video ones. So if you want to send your question as a video under 1 minute, we will use those too, but we won't penalize people who don't send in a video. Your questions will just be judged according to the questions. But we do like the videos if you want to send them in. Heather McDonald's going to be with us later in the show, the best reporter in the country. At least one of the very, very top reporters in the country. So she will be talking to us about the police, which she knows all about. So every day, 5:20 on the dot, I wake up and I do a news scan and I go through all the important sites. And the top one I used to go to used to be Drudge. I would go to the Drudge Report, and that was a really good collection of headlines with a kind of conservative bent, with a conservative bent. Drudge went down the drain. Drudge collapsed. So I thought, okay, this is awful, but I kept going because it was the only thing there. Then Dan Bongino, right? Great commentator. He came on and he started the Bongino Report. So I just thought, well, I'll go there instead. I took the Drudge Report off. I put Bongino on my bookmark. So as I hit through my scan, I now hit Dan's site. I emailed him today and asked him how the site was doing. He says it's doing great. Their traffic is way up. It's up like a third. They're getting lots of good comments from people that they make references to. He's set up to replace the Drudge Report. It is one thing to complain when a system goes bad. It's another thing to replace it. That is the point I'm making. So kudos to Dan for actually doing something, not just saying, oh, this is a great moment. So now we've lost the New York Times. The New York Times, I used to go on the New York Times to get good reporting from the left. Now it's useless. I still go on and scan it quickly, but it's useless because I know I can't trust their news. Other people must know that too, right? Other people must know that too, but are we replacing it? We've got a couple of sites up that are new. The Atlantic Monthly used to be a good site, had a lot of left-wing stuff, but it also had right-wing stuff. Now, nothing. It's just a left-wing site. It's useless, but have we replaced it? It's one thing to say these things are useless. It's another thing to say they've got to be replaced. And so this is the thing that I'm talking about. This is a crisis. If there are any billionaires out there who want to talk about this, you know where to find me. You can find me at andrewclavin.com, and I will talk about it because this needs to be done. We don't need just right-wing sites. We need sites for everybody with a fair and balanced point of view. So, yesterday, this is just on a sideline, but it actually leads into what I'm talking about. Yesterday, the Stalin Youth Group, which is also called Media Matters, they just look at all of them. They look like these smiling Stalin youth, you know, like the Nazi youth used to be these smiling, clean cut, blonde boys. That's what they look like over at Media Matters, the Stalin youth, you know. They put out something about me that I had said that Barack Obama made black-white relations worse in this country. And that's just the truth. And the funny thing about it is they never commented. They didn't even know how to spell my name. They were afraid to spell my name. They just said, guy over at the Daily Wire says this terrible thing. What's really interesting about this is they don't even have to say, this is untrue, here's the facts, you know, race relations got better under Obama, which it didn't, they didn't. So I'm right, of course, I'm obviously right. They just put it out there as if the question were not whether something is true or not, but whether or not you should be offended by it. So these Stalin Youth Group, Media Matters, have trained their listeners like dogs, you know, like dogs being trained to drool when a bell rings, right? They've trained them not to look at whether something is true or not, but simply to check their offense, to check their inner lives, whether their little hearts have gone pity-pat with offense. That is what they've been trained to do. They don't even think. So that means that in a crowd, in a Black Lives Matter radical terrorist crowd or Antifa radical terrorist crowd, the person is shouting and screaming and they're not even thinking. They're not even thinking, well, wait, is that true? They're not thinking that anymore because they've been trained by Stalinist sites like Media Matters to just check whether they're offended. So I say that as a prelude to what I'm going to say, because what I'm going to say is incredibly offensive. In fact, if Media Matters is listening, you can get your tape recorder ready. I have noticed, and I've said this before, but it always makes people offended, and they always write to me and say how offended they are. I've noticed that when women start to rise in a profession formerly dominated by men, it means the profession is about to become irrelevant. So I noticed years ago that women were becoming news anchor women. And I thought, oh, TV news must be over. Well, TV news is over, right? Nobody under my age gets their news from ABC, CBS, or NBC. That's not where people go to get their news. They go online. I noticed recently, more recently, but not that recently, that women directors started to rise. And I thought, oh, the cinema must be over. Take a look around. The cinema is over, right? Nobody cares about the cinema anymore. Now, the reason this happens is not because the women are bad at what they do. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's because men do things first. Men go and create things. Whenever I see a t-shirt that says the future is female, I think, not so much. You know, if you're talking about business, if you're talking about entertainment, if you're talking about technology, it's where the young men go that the future is, always. So when you see young men suddenly get obsessed with video games, that's going to be the next thing. And of course, it became the next thing. And then the women say, well, you got to let us in. When they do, it's only because they've moved on to something else. When men let women in, it's because women protest. And it's only because the men have moved elsewhere. So it's a terrible thing to say, right? Because it means women are constantly behind the curve. But they are. They are. In this way, in this particular system. I have noticed now that the best actual journalists in the country, the best gatherers of news, the people who do the investigation, the people who look beneath the surface, who aren't just sitting there, you know, looking at stuff or shouting questions and hoping that they say something offensive and stupid enough to go viral. The people who are doing the actual work of reporting are almost all women. I talked to Sylvia Heather McDonald is going to be here. A spectacular reporter, a reporter who would not be able to carry her Pulitzer Prizes if life were fair. If this were a place where if the Pulitzer Prize went to people who did great reporting, it doesn't. It went last year to people who got everything wrong about the Russian collusion story. Oh, that was so wrong. Here's your Pulitzer. Heather McDonald wins the real Pulitzer, the platonic Pulitzer. Kimberly Strassel is doing great reporting at the Wall Street Journal on the Russian collusion hoax and where that started. Catherine Herridge is over at CBS. And Catherine Herridge, I mean, I know she has a lot of great sources in the government, but one of the things she does, she reads documents down to the ground. Cheryl Atkinson was kicked out of CBS for doing the kind of work on Barack Obama that they didn't want done. The actual investigative work, same thing she did to George W. Bush. It was not a question of party or being partisan, but when she did it to Obama, they forced her out. All the great reporting in this country right now is being done by women, these great, brave, incredibly talented women reporters. And what makes me worried about that is it makes me worried that maybe reporting itself is now obsolete, because this is not a moral matter. It's not that men are good and women are bad. It's that men go where the next big thing is, and they're inventing the next big thing. And I don't see a lot of young men doing this kind of spectacular reporting that these ladies are doing. And that makes me worry that maybe we're not going to be gathering news anymore. It's going to be all opinion, and that's not a good thing for the country. We need to have facts in order to have opinions. It has gotten so much harder for me to get facts to have opinions about, okay? And so we now have a journalistic system that is collapsing. It has collapsed. 60% of voters, this is from our friends over at Media Research Center, whom we love so much because they do such a good job as a watchdog on the press. 60% of voters believe some media want the shutdown, the Chinese flu, yellow fever shutdown, to drag on to hurt Trump in November. A new survey released this morning shows that 59.8% of likely voters, liberal and conservative, believe that some members of the media would like to see the coronavirus shutdown drag on so that it hurts President Donald Trump's chances of re-election. So it's not like people can't see this. It's not like they're stupid. It's that if you don't give them opportunities, I'd probably still be going to Drudge just because it'd be the only person gathering information if Dan hadn't started his site, right? You've got to answer the collapse with building. You've got to answer the collapse with building. And again, the important thing is we don't need a new Fox News. We don't need more Sean Hannity's. We don't need more Laura Ingraham's. They do a great job at what they do, but it's very targeted to a specific audience. We need more Brett Baer's. We need more people gathering news. We need more Lara Logan's. We need more Heather McDonald's being out there and being funded and being put in mainstream publications that appeal to everybody, that do not just appeal to right-wingers. We need Heather McDonald to be heard by the people on the left as well. Obviously not the far left. They don't care. They're not reasoning creatures. But I'm talking about the moderate left, who are part of our country, who we need to associate with and compromise with and negotiate with and argue with, or we can't have a country. We need them to know what Heather McDonald knows. We saw Brendan Straka yesterday on this show in a conversation with a leftist, screaming leftist BLM protester. And he said, "Do you know the facts?" And he recited the actual facts that come from Heather McDonald's reporting, some of them, and from other places. And this woman just screamed obscenities at him, right? Because she has no way to gather that. Her parents have no way to gather that because it's being kept out of the media. We have to build those sites. And if we don't, we're doomed. If we don't, we're not doing our job. We're letting this crisis go to waste. I mean, we've been locked down for 3 months, and that's part of this rioting that's going on. Here is, and when Donald Trump walked out and went to that church in this kind of bold gesture, the entire media got together to try and make that look like a bad thing. Oh, he gassed the wonderful, mostly peaceful protesters. These people asked Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary, "Do you regret this now?" Of course, that's the media. That's the narrative. Here's cut one.
Really, the president is not sorry for the way things went?
No, the president is sorry about the fact that Antifa wreaked havoc in our streets and the failure of some members of the media to note that. Like CNN's Chris Cuomo said, "Show me where it says protesters are supposed to be peaceful." I'd point him to the First Amendment, where it says that you have the right to, quote, peaceably assemble. He should go back and read the Constitution. There are many others out there, like Don Lemon, saying that rioting is a mechanism to restructure our country. Burning down St. John's, using a pick to literally like carve out, as we saw in that video, concrete from the sidewalk to hurl at officers. That's not peacefully protesting. The actions of the rioters were not in keeping with the First Amendment. And I think the media needs to recognize there's a discernment between the peaceful protesters, many of whom I've seen, and the rioters. And yes, America will act against rioters.
It's like watching Species. Remember that movie with a hot blonde who goes and rips people's spines out, you know, where she's an alien or something? That's what's like watching. And we heard Jonah Goldberg and Chris Wallace complain that that Kaylee is a Twitter troll. And my answer is, okay, but where is the voice loud enough to say what she's saying in the mainstream? Nowhere. That's why Trump was sent to the White House. That's why Trump was sent to the White House. If you build New York Timeses that tell the truth, if you build NBC Newses that tell the truth, that don't lie, that aren't left-wing, collapsed left-wing organs of corruption, you won't need Donald Trump. You won't need people who are loudmouth and Twitter trolls in the White House. They'll be able to do their job, which is governing the country, while the press does its job, which it has ceased to do. That's the problem with that argument. All right, let's pause for just a second to talk about something truly important, which is Raycon earbuds, wireless earbuds that are so much better than the ones you're probably using now that make you look like an insect and do not, they do, I'm sorry. I know your friends won't tell you. I'm telling you, you look like a gigantic beetle when you put those things in your ears, but not Raycon. They're attractive. Plus, they have the way they're built just seals your ears so you don't have all this outside noise. They really do muffle the outside noise so you get this clear, beautiful sound. And I use them all the time. I use them for audiobooks when I'm hiking. They block out the wind, which I get a lot of when I'm hiking. And it's really, really a good sound. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. They've got 6 hours of playtime. They've got seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Klavan. That's B-U-Y, buyraycon.com/Klavan for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds, buyraycon.com/Klavan. And if you tap them twice, they tell you how you spell Klavan. So that's very useful right there.
There are no easy things.
All right. I just made that part up, of course, but so now you've got this fascinating thing, because one of these things about the bubble that the press creates is it allows the far left to rise to the top before there's only two sides on the left. There's the far left that are realists and realize they can't get away with what they want to get away with right away. And then there's the far left that just doesn't care. They're just radicals. They just want to burn everything down right now. And so yesterday they've started, not yesterday, over the past couple of days, they started this defund the cops movement. And now suddenly the curtains open and they're standing there naked telling people they're not going to be able to call the police anymore. And it's like, I mean, this is the genuine divide between the leftist realists and the leftist leftists. So, you know, one of the things that was funny yesterday was Nancy Pelosi led the House Democrats in kneeling. I can't believe this. I cannot believe that these people, that kneeling is disrespecting the flag. Unless you are kneeling to God, unless you are kneeling to Almighty God, you should not be on your knees, okay? And if you're on your knees, you're imitating Colin Kaepernick and basically disrespecting the flag. They don't care. They knelt down, and so they're wearing these things that are called unbelievable. You know, I love the way Donald Trump's march to St. John's Church was a photo op. But this is just a tribute to George Floyd. You know, this is not it's not a photo op when these people kneel down and they're wearing these kente African scarves. Hilarious. And Nancy Pelosi, of course, couldn't get off her knees. It's like she's an old woman. It's like I've fallen and I can't get up. She had to press that button, you know, so the guys would come in the store. We're coming to get you, Nancy. Don't worry about it. I've fallen and I can't get up. She's down her knees. But you know, some people of color, as we're supposed to call them, some of our black citizens and not citizens, looked at this and thought, oh my God, this virtue signaling is treating black people like children. Oh, now I see you're wearing a kente cloth, so you must be my friend. My friend Uju, I call her Uju because I cannot pronounce her name, Obian Uju Ikiosha, right? She is a fearless crusader for life, for, you know, against abortion, for pro-life. And she basically makes the argument that the West is colonizing Africa by forcing abortion on a culture that does not want it. She saw these things, and she is an actual African. She lives in Britain now, but she is actually from Africa. And she saw these scarves, and she went nuts. This is cut three.
Excuse me, dear Democrats, in your tokenism, you didn't wait to find out that this thing that you're hanging around your neck is not just some African uniform. It's actually the kente material. The kente belongs to the Ghanaian people, mainly the Ashanti tribe. Excuse me, Democrats, don't treat Africans like we're children. These fabrics and these, you know, colorful things that we have within our culture and tradition, they all mean something to us. I know you look at us and you say, oh, Africans, you're so cute.
Don't treat Africans like children. That's the entire Democrat platform. What are you talking about, Uju? So, of course, the same thing happens with this defund the police. They start in, they're shouting defund the police. They're strutting around. They think the country is with us. And they turn around, and the country's going, huh? You defund the police? You got to be kidding me. The greatest politician in the country right now is Lisa Bender of the Minneapolis City Council, who is, they're actually serious about this. They're going to remove the police from Minneapolis. So, and, you know, I'm bringing marshmallows. I've got some hamburgers. It's July 4th. We'll have fires everywhere. There'll be fires everywhere, so we'll be able to cook our burgers and hot dogs. She's on Wolf Blitzer. I mean, this is a question that even Wolf Blitzer could think of. I know asking tough questions of left-wingers is not what CNN does, not what the news media does, but even Wolf Blitzer, I think he must have just blurted this out in a moment of weakness, asks her, how the hell is that going to work? This is cut five.
What's your reaction? What happens if there's a criminal out there with a gun and starts shooting people? Who's going to respond if there's no police force?
Look, it is our top priority to keep every single member of our community safe. And if you look back at the last 150 years of our police department, it is becoming increasingly clear that that model of policing isn't working. So we need to invite in our whole community, the 9 members of the city council that came from every corner of our city to stand together to make this commitment. We don't have all the answers. And what we committed to was a community process to help reimagine public safety.
So it's not defunding, we're reimagining. When we say defunding, what we mean is we're reimagining defunding. The words don't mean, see, this is what you have to understand. The words don't mean what the words mean. It's like men and women. The word man doesn't mean man. The word woman doesn't mean woman. The word defund doesn't mean, because they got caught. She looks so bad. So I hesitate to play another Kayleigh McEnany cut because I don't want any of you young men out there to get addicted to SM porn watching this blonde slap middle-aged men around. It's like, I've got to watch this again and again and again. But she delivered, you know what we do? When the left does something stupid, the press always reports it as Republicans pounce. Republicans pounce. We seize, pounce, and seize. I can pounce and seize because I'm a literary lion. But Kayleigh gave the Trump response. This is cut nine.
The president is appalled by the defund the police movement. The fact that you have sitting congresswomen wanting to defund the police, notably Rashida Tlaib, notably Biden advisor AOC Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a former Clinton and Eric Holder spokesperson Brian Fallon, wanting to defund our police across this country, it is extraordinary. And when you think the left has gone far, and they couldn't possibly go farther, because we all remember the defund ICE movement. They want to defund immigration and custom enforcement, and now they want to defund the police. This is extraordinary. This is rolling back the protective layers that protect Americans in their homes and in their places of business. He's appalled by it, and it's remarkable to hear this coming from today's Democrat Party.
And just to add to the pornographic thrill of it, because this is right-wing porn, but it's all true. I mean, that's what makes it. We only like our porn when it's true. AOC Zen says, you called me a Biden advisor instead of a councilwoman. That's because I'm a person of color, so you're a bigot. it's like, wait, the left-wing playwright book, you're a bigot because you called me. But in fact, she did call her a councilwoman first. So Kaylee just kind of stomped her. It was like that scene, you know, you remember the old movie Godzilla meets Bambi, where it's just Bambi and then suddenly Godzilla's foot comes down and flattens her? That was Kaylee against AOC. It was Godzilla meets Bambi. So now they're stuck with this stupid idea. And of course, even left-wing mayors, I mean, in D.C., Muriel Bowser, who, by the way, still has not released Princess Peach to Super Mario, Muriel Bowser... I'm sorry, they're just so dumb, I can't stop laughing. Muriel Bowser says, yeah, the defund, it means something else than besides defund, it was cut six.
I think that a lot of people have different meanings for what they mean when they say defund the police. And as I've listened and read, I think most people are saying that they want reform and that they want good policing. And certainly we don't paint all police departments or all cities in the same position on the pathway to reform.
Yeah, because defund, when we say defund, we don't mean defund. We don't mean defund because if you take away defund, the city is going to burn down to the ground. So we don't want that to happen. You know, I mean, these are, you know, mayors are executives of big entities and they can't all be like that guy, Jacob. I called him Fry yesterday. Is it pronounced Frey? Maybe it's pronounced Frey. Or maybe it's just pronounced afraid. I'm not sure. It could be just pronounced Frady or Frady or Scaredy or something like that. But anyway, you know, he's a clown. I mean, he's a clown. Most mayors, and so is de Blasio, and so is Garcetti, by the way. I mean, when they're dealing with these cities that are so big that they don't feel the effects of stupid policies right away, and when they are all one party, they can do that for a lot longer period of time. But in a city, you feel the effects eventually, and even people on the left, you know, I've been traveling, I travel to New York all the time, and I keep saying to people, this guy's going to destroy your city, and they go, no, the city's fine, the city's doing great, the city's great, now it's locked down, it's burned down, it's a mess, it happens very, very quickly. You know, it's like going broke, you know, you do it slowly and then very quickly. And that's what's happened in New York City because of Mayor de Blasio. But mayors have to run things. And a responsible mayor like Mayor Bowser here, you know, knows that she can't do this garbage. She can't put this left-wing fantasy world into the real world. Her city will be destroyed. And so, you know, they've gotten caught at this. And this, too, is part of the press. If the press had been there, it would have in some ways kept the left from traveling so far to the left. It would have kept them from being radicalized. It would have done so much. It would do so much to us to have a fair press. Who's going to do it? Who's going to bell the cat? Who's going to start to build the kind of organs we need to actually spread true news to all the people, not just to right wingers? All right. We are going to talk just a bit about this Reader's Pass promo. This is a great deal, okay? If you want the news, right? Everything is going nuts. We're talking about the news. Where are you going to get the news that's not from the leftist media? Well, one place you can go is the Daily Wire. We are doing the best we can to bring you the news, and we will give you a membership tier. This is a bargain membership tier. It's $3 a month normally, but if you join today, you get your first month for 99 cents. So what do you get? You get access to our mobile app, which is great. You get push notifications for breaking news and special contents. You get to join the community of Daily Wire members who are actively commenting and discussing our content with each other. That's mobile ad-free access to all of the Daily Wire news, exclusive op-eds, and more on our mobile app, all for the low price of $1. And best of all, your dollars are getting you the news you need without the leftist spin. So head over to dailywire.com/subscribe and join today. We have got the great Heather McDonald. Have we got to, I'm going to actually look because now I've learned that I can see. There she is. We have got the spectacular Heather McDonald coming right up in just a sec. All right. As I already said, Heather McDonald is the best reporter in the country. She is as good a reporter as there is in the country. She's the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a contributing editor of City Journal. She's also a New York Times bestselling author. Her latest book is The Diversity Delusion, which I actually haven't read yet. It's the only one of her books I haven't read. But she is just terrific, and she is incredibly courageous, both in what she says and what she does. Heather, it is always great to see you. How are you doing?
Great. Well, we've got a Santa Ana condition here. So, you know, summer heat coming early. We got to open the pools, get rid of this coronavirus hysteria, because otherwise the cities are going to burn even faster than they've already started.
Well, all you have to do is just go out to your pool with a Black Lives Matter sign and then you're immune. It's it works every time.
Yeah, they'll start turning on their own at some point. You know, we're going to have some, let's have some internal assassinations.
Well, you have been covering the police all this time. You're watching this defund the police movement. You're watching this police are racist movement. Well, just I just ask you a general question. What are your thoughts? I mean, it must look like everybody's gone insane.
Well, it's a repeat of the 2015-2016 insanity, but 1,000 times worse. It's like we're now in the middle of a cyclone. And I explain that by the fact that we've been through another 5 years of academic victimology being pumped into the body politic. So the idea that America is inherently white supremacist is now widely embraced. We saw it embraced during the Democratic primaries before the coronavirus thankfully canceled those. So now we're living with the effects of the academic takeover of our culture. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, I get every 5 minutes, people are sending me another 6 emails of both college presidents and leaders of our major institutions capitulating. I've never seen anything like it. You know, your jocular, Drew, which is always the best way to be as we go down fighting, but it's very hard to remain optimistic during this. It's really stunning between the slow motion destruction of the American economy and civilization that was the result of the coronavirus shutdowns and the mass hysteria of that, and then now the torching of them. It's really hard to see what is left standing, and certainly meritocracy is not going to be left standing. If we thought we had a system of racial preferences and quotas beforehand, now forget it. You know, everything is from here on in going to be decided on the basis of race. And I'm sure the feminists will get in on the coattails of this and demand even more strict sex preferences as well.
Last night, I was watching Bill Barr on the Brett Baer show, the attorney general. And, he was being sympathetic to the cause, the idea that, you know, black people get stopped, you know, honest black people get stopped by the police. We all know this is true. I mean, I think that honest guys do get pulled over. Maybe they get different treatment. I think my interchange with a cop is going to be different than a black guy's interchange with a cop. Is there anything here that we can say that will, you know, cross, that we can speak across the divide? Is there any common ground here at all, or is it all delusion?
Well, years ago when we had the Sean Bell shooting in New York City, this was the guy that was doing a bachelor party celebrating, and his entourage was spotted outside of a nightclub in Queens, looked like they had a gun, led the police on a chase, and Bell was shot fatally. A attorney for one of the detectives associations said to me, "We would be willing to concede that police officers may be a little faster, a split second faster in using lethal force when confronting what they believe to be a black armed suspect, if the other side would be willing to concede that the reason that that's the case is because of the massively, astronomically higher rates of shootings and violent crime within the black community." So, you know, to your question of is there something correct about police differential treatment? It probably is the case. I mean, that police officers are more on their guard in black car stops. The fact of the matter is, Drew, that a cop is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a cop. Black males are 6% of the nation's population. They've made up 42% of all cop killers over a decade. So that's the case. On the other hand, as far as like the car stops being blacks are more likely to be pulled over, you know, I'm not sure I'm willing to give on that one, because certainly at night, it's a fiction that anybody can see the driver of a car coming up behind. And I've written about black cops, and they tell me that if they stop a black driver, the first thing out of that driver's mouth is, "You only stopped me because I'm black." And the cop will say, "No, I stopped you because you're speeding or you ran a red light." There was a study done of New Jersey driving behavior after one of the inaugural lawsuits that were brought against a police department, the New Jersey State Troopers, in the late 1990s, and the New Jersey Attorney General caved to the charge of racial profiling on the Garden State Parkway and the New Jersey Turnpike, after the New Jersey AG had already sold out the cops and inflicted a consent decree on them. The union asked the same statistical outfit that had worked for the state to actually look at driving behavior, which you'd think is where you start. You know, if the charge is you're pulling over XYZ group at a higher rate, what you got to look is how are the groups behaving? But this was never occurred to anybody that to get an actual driving benchmark. So they did a very massive study. They looked at tens of thousands of drivers with cameras and assessing who the drivers were who were speeding. And what they found out was that on the New Jersey Turnpike and the Garden State Parkway, blacks sped at twice the rate of whites. And if you looked at speeds over 90 miles an hour, the difference was even greater. So I've talked to cops in inner city areas, and they say the driving behavior that we see in, say, over the Rhine in Cincinnati is unbelievable. So, you know, if blacks are pulled over at a higher rate, I'm not fully willing to concede that that is out of some kind of profiling behavior and not largely driven by driving behavior.
You know, I want to ask one more question about in this direction and then go back to your original statement about the academies. But just one last question. The cop, this guy Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, he looked like he really did not know what he was doing. He looked a bit out of control to me. You know, I'm waiting for the facts, but there are bad cops. There's 900,000 cops in the country. They're going to be bad cops. Do unions make it harder to weed out the bad cops? Is there a reform that could be made there that would help get bad cops out of the system?
Yeah, some unions do. There's a range of unions. There's some that are very powerful, others less so. I don't think the New York police unions are particularly powerful. But I've talked to chiefs who I really respect, such as Ed Flynn, former chief of Milwaukee, one of the few courageous cops that is actually willing to talk about the fact that policing is driven by crime and the highest crime rates, you know, without question, or in the black community. But he has said that, yes, it can be very frustrating to try to get rid of bad cops and they are immediately reinstated. So that is something that obviously I think there could be common ground on. Obviously, the unions are going to say that big city police chiefs are often driven by politics. And especially in left-wing cities, you know, the mayor controls the fate of the chief, and they are very worried about their officers being turned into scapegoats because a scalp is required. So it's a tough issue, but it is definitely the case that the chiefs do feel like their hands are often tied. You talk to the cops. And, you know, I've written a lot about cops, and I will admit they can be a pain in the butt. I mean, they gripe all the time. There's never a commissioner they like. They are very hunkered down, very in their bunker. But it's understandable. They feel that the world is against them, and it is, as we've just seen. So they will defend their union privileges to the hilt as something that is necessary to protect them in a world that views them with contempt and derision.
You know, when we started this conversation, I asked you about the police, and you went right, and you went, your mind went right to the academy. And it took me a minute to process that, and I just want to go back to it because it's such an interesting idea. You see a you're not doing that at random. You see a chain of dissolution from the academy to the streets. And could you describe that chain? I don't want to run out of time, but can you describe that chain? And is there anything, is there a way to fight back? Is there a place to start to take that to break that chain?
Well, what I've been warning about for years, Drew, is the power of the myth of bias, which is that comes out of the academy, says that the only allowable explanation for ongoing socioeconomic and racial disparities is bias. You're not allowed to talk about behavior. So let's be very honest. What we're talking about now is racial inequalities. And what we have heard from the academy for the last 30 years is that is by definition the result of white supremacy and discrimination. You are not allowed to talk about behavior. You're not allowed to talk about personal responsibility. You're not allowed to talk about the fact that if we're talking about poverty, the greatest predictor of poverty is growing up in a single parent household. Not that there's not great single mothers out there who are working against the odds, raising their children well, providing support, providing discipline, providing a role model. But beyond poverty, which I think is the least relevant issue for raising a child, children in single parent homes are far more likely to grow up as criminals. And that's not allowed to be said in the academy. Now we're seeing that writ large. The white supremacy idea, the myth of bias is now everywhere. It's everywhere. As I say, we are going to see demands for racial quotas. You're going to have corporate CEOs, the boardrooms, everything. Everything is now going to be determined. Any disparity in any institution is going to be chalked up to bias. We're not allowed to look at the fact that 40% of Black eighth graders nationwide don't even score basic in math and reading on the National Assessment of Educational Progress, compared to maybe 5 or 10% of whites and Asians who are below basic. That achievement gap does not close over time. It does not close throughout high school. It does not close getting into college. And yet we're supposed to believe that if there's not 13% Black engineers at Google, despite the fact that there's a 200-point SAT gap in math and reading, it can't be because of the pipeline and they're not being qualified applicants. It can only be because Google, the most left-wing corporation in the country, is somehow discriminating against highly qualified Black computer scientists and engineers. It's ludicrous, but I can guarantee you, just watch. We are going to now see every institution being scoured for racial bean counting, and the pressure is going to be enormous in newsrooms, in publishing houses, more than we've already been seeing, which is already very large.
Heather, you know, I always say we're laughing our way through the fall of the West, but if I have any hope that the West won't fall, it's because of great reporting and courageous honesty like yours. Plus, it's always just great to see you. So thank you for coming on. I hope you'll come back.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
Always great to see you. All right, folks, I'm going to have to stop there because we went a little long, but we will be back tomorrow with the mailbag. You want to go on and subscribe, go to the podcast page, go to the Andrew Klavan podcast, hit that little mailbag button. All your problems will be solved. I mean, come on, that is a pretty good deal. All your problems solved right here on the Andrew Klavan Show. I'm Andrew Klavan. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, give us a 5-star review and also tell your friends to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Ben Shapiro Show, The Matt Walsh Show, and The Michael Knowles Show. Thanks for listening. The Andrew Klavan Show is produced by Robert Sterling. Executive producer, Jeremy Boring. Technical producer, Austin Stevens. And our supervising producer is Mathis Glover. Assistant director, Pavel Wydowski. Edited by Adam Sajovic. Audio mixed by Robin Fenderson. Hair and makeup is by Jessua Alvera. Animations are by Cynthia Angulo. Production assistants, McKenna Waters and Ryan Love. The Andrew Klavan Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2020.
You know, the Matt Walsh Show, it's not just another show about politics. I think there are enough of those already out there. We talk about culture because culture drives politics and it drives everything else. So my main focuses are life, family, faith. Those are fundamental, and that's what this show is about. I hope you'll give it a listen.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.